We have now arrived at Chopinucci Hour. Chosen as his subject for our consideration, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Chopinucci.
Thank you, Brother Rawson. My dear friends, I can't describe to you the joy and the privilege of being here with you in this convention. And Sister Lucy feels the same way I do. The blessings which we have received are more than we deserve. Our daughter Lisa wished to be remembered to you, and she appreciated all the prayers and also your support. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You remember in the old days, there were many kings and many royal palaces. Most of the kings disappear because this was an indication and a prophecy that it was to be so. But the royal palace, they have remained. I visit some of them. It is very difficult to describe to you the splendor, the beauty of those palaces. As you enter the main hall where they used to entertain the royal guest, the white marble, the pink marble, the chandeliers, the furniture, the throne, all decorated with gold, in some cases precious stones. I was told that a letter of invitation which was sent to the royal guest was also decorated with gold and sometimes precious stones. When the royal guest entered the hall, the name was announced, and then they proceeded to honor the king and the queen. Then the celebration will begin. My dear brethren, we have a king. We worship a king, the King of all kings. Our king has also a royal palace. Palace decorated with gold of divine nature. The location, the preparation has been made for us by this royal king. He also has a throne beyond the human imagination. A letter of invitation has been sent to many, many human beings to attend these royal celebrations. But only 144,000 will enter this royal palace. Oh yes, the letter has been sent. Have you received this letter? All of you, my dear brethren, have received this letter. Close your eyes for a moment. Visualize that beautiful hall. And as you enter, the King of Kings will welcome you and introduce you to see the greatest creator of the universe, God, face to face. Look around. Look. You see faces you never saw them before. You read their letters. The letters were given to you. Paul wrote you a letter. He gave you a letter. Peter sent you a letter. He gave you a letter. John gave you a letter. By then you see them face to face. Look further into this chamber, royal palace, because you're not a guest. You have been invited to live there. What throughout eternity? Look further. You may see someone that you recognize. Could it be Brother Zeno? Could it be Brother Baker? Could it be Brother Fay? Continue looking. You see the glorious angels. Remember, you are in the land of the angels. But how do we get there? What must we do? Our royal king not only sends you the invitations, invite to be with him into this royal palace, but also he told you what to do. Blessed are the pure hearts, for they shall see God. This, my dear brethren, is the only stipulation. It is the greatest honor and the hope of every consecrated Christian to see God face to face. In the book of Psalms 139:23, we read, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts." Why is the heart mentioned so many times in the scripture? How important is this little organ of our body? This little engine that weighs less than a pound pumps blood continuously in our body. Never sleep. never complain about the weather, seeks no social pleasure, and never asks for a vacation. How much do we depend on the heart? If one eye goes blind, we can see with the other eye. If one ear is deaf, we can turn our head and listen with the other good ear. But our earthly existence depends on the function of the heart. And it is this little precious little organ that the Lord want us to keep pure and gave it to Him. The heart represent the will, the intentions, and there is a governing power of our lives. Those whose wills are pure, true and uncompromising purpose, they shall see God. We are reminded by the scripture that the creator of the universe is able to read our thoughts and discern the intentions of our hearts. Yes, the Lord will hear everything we say, every move we make. To realize this, it should cause us to be very careful of everything we do and everything we say. In prayers that David prayed, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. No wonder the prophet in Proverbs 4:23 wrote, keep thy heart with all diligence, for of it are the issue of life. And the modern translation reads, above all that you gods, watch over your heart, for of it are the source of a life. This means that our words reveal the true heart conditions. We as a Christian have learned to see God through the eyes of a faith. In having a closer relationship with God, we can depend on His wisdom and loving providence to guide us and bless us. But if we expect such a remarkable measure of love and care towards us, we must have a clean hands and pure hearts. Pure intentions, and that our service of the Lord may be in harmony with His will. Experience God's presence is a great honor, but also it is a serious responsibility. In Psalm 101:6 we read, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in the perfect way shall serve me. Here again we are reminded that it is only those who are faithful serve the Lord are the object of his special watch care. Those in the Lord's of the care may dwell with me. How precious is the thought that if we endeavor in with all our hearts to know and to do the Lord's will, it means that we are to dwell with him in the secret of his presence. And that for all this is where we want it to be. No one has seen God at any time. And we do not know of his appearance or what he looked like. But his character is revealed to us through his beloved Son. And we know that the same qualities are possessed by a loving Creator. But it is the hope of every consecrated Christian to see him face to face and in his glory. Paul in Colossians 1:27 used a beautiful expression when he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is a glorious hope set before us in the gospel. It serves as an incentive to faithfulness in our ministry of the gospel. And then as we continue sacrificing the flesh and his ambitions and bring the message of the truth to others, because of this is what the Lord wants us to do. Moses, we know, was a humble servant of God. He wanted very much to see the face and the glory of God. Speaking to God, he says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. To this request, God responded and said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy over whom I will show mercy. Thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Yes, it was a beautiful experience for Moses to hear the voice of the greatest creator of the universe. In this statement by the Lord to Moses, we notice two interesting points. First, the Lord spoke to Moses in a language that he was able to understand. And this, my dear brethren, the way the truth should be presented, in a language that people will be able to understand. Myself, I never even know how to use the long words anyhow. Secondly, illustration was used by the Lord in the pictorial language. And perhaps the key to this remarkable statement of God to Moses has been the assertion, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Actually, it is the goodness of the Lord that revealed him to us, in the sense that we are able to sense and to understand some of the most beautiful character of our God. In addition to this, the Bible helps us to grasp more fully the idea of our Heavenly Father's love for His people by symbolic reference to His eyes, His ears, and His arms. This does not mean that God has ears or eyes or arms like us, but by the use of this as a symbol, we are given a clear concept of our Heavenly Father's power and His intimate love for us. Just as we see with our eyes, and we are aware of what is taking place within the range of our eyes, so the Creator knows what has happened to His people, because they are always within the range of His vision. In the book of Proverbs 15:3, we are told that the eyes of the Lord are in every place. There is no place in the whole universe that He cannot see. He sees every place, beholding the evil and the good. This is very encouraging, because what the Lord is telling us is that no matter where we are or what circumstances were involved, the Lord sees both the good and the evil. He knows the circumstances which are favorable to us as a new creature, and also sees the influence which are pressing against us. This means that the Lord is always aware of our difficulties for which we are confronted, and the any effort which will be made by the adversary to discourage us or to hinder our progress in the narrow way, the Lord will use His mighty power to prevent us and come to our rescue. Yes, my brethren, God has the ability to search our mind and to discern the thoughts and the intention of our heart. We should be very, very careful, extremely careful to keep our thoughts and our motives pure. God's loving care for His people are brought further to attention by the Bible, made reference to His ability to hear when we cry to Him for help, and His everlasting arms are always on our side. From the book of Psalms 34:17, we read, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their trouble." How wonderful this is! In the moment when thy faith might not be as strong as it should be, we might temporarily wonder if the Lord really knows the degree of our trials in caring for us in these situations. Or we have the assurance of his words that he sees in every place and understands every situation and able to care for us. All we needed to do is to continue faithfully to walk in the narrow way and put our trust in him. He has a great love for you and for me, and look forward to see each one of us face to face. And we also hope to see him face to face. There is a little or nothing in this present evil world that is favorable to the sustenance and growth of the Lord's people as a new creature in Christ. We could well say, as a new creature, that we are surrounded with famine, condition which apart from the Lord's love and power will lead to death. We believe that our Lord is not present, and that we are living in the day of preparation for the establishment of his glorious kingdom. As the children of a light, we watch the event that are taking place in the change of dispensation before us. The lamp of truth that has guided the Lord's people throughout the gospel age, the same lamp will continue to guide us in these last days. Then when the member of the bride of Christ has been found faithful, even unto death, and enter the beautiful palace, the glorious palace prepared for us, then the blessings for the world will begin. There will be no restitutions of any kind. There will be no blessings of any kind until the royal family will enter that beautiful palace, the glorious palace, and see God face to face. Yes, my brother, we know that the waiting time is not easy. In each one of us found very difficult sometimes, waiting, because we would like to see this earth full of violence, crimes, and death come to an end. But we must be patient and recognize that the time is all an important factor in the plan of God for the recovery of his creation. In the meantime, we can rest assured, rest in peace, peace of heart, that nothing will interfere with accomplishment of his purpose. The Bible does not attempt to explain to us what God looked like. Even if it did, this would be beyond our comprehension and beyond our intellect. The Bible does say that God is a spirit, and to this he added, that those who worship him should worship him in spirit and in truth. How precious is the thought in our minds and in our hearts. We can praise God and worship him, not because we see him or conceive his image of him, but because we love him and have learned through the Bible many wonderful characters concerning him. And the reality of the fact that God is so compassionate, that God is so patient with those who even deny that he exists. They deny the existence of such a loving God. To this, adds a lust to his character and inspires us to love him more and to serve him with all our hearts and soul. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:18 wrote, "But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Here in this verse, the expression open face is more translated as unveiling face. You may see the dialogue to this. What Paul is really saying is that with an unveiling face, we behold as in the glass the glory of the Lord, and thereby are changed into the same image. This is very interesting. You remember that when Moses, mediating the law, the old law covenant, found it necessary to put a veil upon his face to hide his glory when he appeared before the people. But when he went before the presence of the Lord, he removed the veil. So he was with an unveiling face that he entered into the presence of God. Then Paul placed the church in the same relationship to the new covenant as Moses was to the old covenant. Moses entered into the presence of God in a more literal sense than we do today. Then Paul says that we behold God's glory as in a glass. That is, that the glory of the Lord is mirrored to us from and through his words. It is the reflection of God's glory that is transforming us from glory to glory. And this has been done by the Spirit of the Lord, the same Spirit written the epistle of Christ upon the fleshly table of our hearts. These two illustrations in reality bring to our attention from different standpoints this same work of grace in our heart, preparing us for the future work of glory with Christ and the privilege of seeing our Heavenly Father face to face. In today's world, what is the mystery confront a layman and also scientists alike is where God lives and whether or not there is an intelligent life in the part of the universe. And they're searching, spending millions of dollars to find the answer. They do not know that the Bible has contained the answer to this question. Many centuries ago, even since it was written, and the answer is yes. The Bible informs us that the man was created a little lower than angels. This implies that creatures called angels have been created before men, and they are on the higher plane of life than human. The angels serve as a God messengers, and in their role, they visit this planet unseen by human, except as they miraculously reveal themselves in human form in order to accomplish their mission. They have been commissioned by God to supervise the life of every consecrated Christian. They know every move we make, every place we go, and everything we do. Each one of you, brethren, you have an angel watching over you. Because if this wasn't so, your life would be very, very short. An interest ministry to the Holy Angels is connection with the capture of Jericho under the leadership of Joshua. You all know the story. It's been suggested that it was the vibrations of the tremendous noise in the shouting that caused the wall to crumble. But we do not think so. The explanation is simple. He was the Lord's host of angels that have brought about the great destruction. Here we have a beautiful illustration of God's dealing with us. He has made every provision for our victory through faith based upon our loyalty to His words. Paul speaks of this provision as the armor of God, the armor of truth. But let me tell you, my dear brethren, but if we had only the truth to protect us against the world and more against Satan, the possibility of a victory will be very slim. If we are faithful in proclaiming the truth and be used as servant of the Lord, but only under the supervision of the holy angels, not only they will protect us, but also will help us to see God face to face. We can be in the truth for many years, even at the end of earthly pilgrimage, we begin to learn the goodness and grace of the Lord. Eternity will not be enough to learn all there is to know of His glorious attribute. And being a spiritual-minded Christian, the honor that someday, if faithful, we can see God face to face is indeed a precious hope. May the Lord help us in our endeavor to serve Him and to help one another, so someday would be able to enter the royal palace, where he'll give you a new name. Yes, there's a new name for you waiting, and bring you to the land of the angels, to live throughout eternity in the glory and the presence of God.
Thank you, Brother Panucci.
Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy name. It is in the merit in our dear Master that we come before thee in prayer at this time, Father, to thank thee for thy love, to thank thee for Jesus, for the life you offer on Calvary Cross for us and for all, for the truth which is precious to our heart, in the fellowship with the brethren. Father, we pray that will help us as we endeavor to serve thee. Help us, Father, to fulfill of our consecration and to let nothing stand in the way of being faithful until the end. Father, thy know the intention of our heart. It is the desire, Father, to see thee face to face in our dear Master and enter the royal palace waiting for us in thy glorious throne of glory. We so thank of a Father for the privilege of this convention, the blessings we have received. Father, we pray once again for thy kingdom, for life is the only hope for this world. Father, we pray thou forgive our many shortcomings. If something which has been said displeases thee, Father, we pray thou forgive us.